Thanks for listening to this edition of Lynn Canal Voice. I'm KHNS General Manager Kyle Clayton. Today, we're going to Skagway to discuss housing shortages in that community. Year-round Skagway renters were forced to move this winter, some even out of state, when multiple apartment buildings sold to seasonal businesses. In response to the escalating housing shortages, Mayor Sam Bass started a housing task force in February. With 9 members now appointed, the task force will hold its first meeting by early May. Join Melinda Munson in Skagway as she questions 3 of these members of that task force about housing issues.
This is Melinda Munson for KHNS, and today we're in Skagway talking about housing. I have got Jonathan Hillis, Mike Healy, Charity Pomeroy. So first we're going to have the panelists introduce themselves, and we are going to start with Jonathan Hillis. Jonathan, can you let us know how long you've lived in Skagway and what you do for work?
Yeah, so I've lived in Skagway about a year and a half now. Moved here December, a year and a half ago. I actually just left a job at Skagway Development Corporation and have started my own company in janitorial and carpet cleaning.
Thank you. Mike Healy, how long have you lived in Skagway and what do you do for work?
I've lived here for 21 years, maybe going on 22. I'm an entrepreneur, so I own Skagway Brewing Company, the Salty Siren Eats and Tap House, which is new this year, and Boomtown Buds, which also just opened.
Thanks. And Charity Pomeroy, how long have you lived in Skagway? How long have you lived in Skagway, and what do you do for work?
I have lived in Skagway as a seasonal worker, and as a part-time resident and a full-time resident. Since 2001. I don't know how many years, 23 years, but I've been away and been back. Yeah, and I own the Days of 98 show. It's a tourist attraction.
Thank you. And our first question is going to start with Mike Healy. Mike, can you describe your journey to home and property ownership in Skagway?
Yeah, I actually became a property owner before a homeowner. Because I was actively looking for land to build employee housing on. And I put that need before my housing needs, which is what I think a lot of business owners need to be doing. And then I became a homeowner about 3 years later. Both of my purchases were initially on an owner financing type of program. One of them had a one-year time period, and then I had to come up with the rest of the money. So I went through it was kind of a gamble because then I then had to go through the bank and convince them throughout that year, hey, I do know what I'm doing and you should back me on this. And then the other one for my home, I think was 3 years before a balloon payment was due. So those were very helpful for me because at the time I was expanding my business and my cash flow was very low.
Charity, can you describe your journey to home and property ownership in Skagway?
Well, that's an ongoing journey. I am and have always been a renter in Skagway.
Okay. And do you own any employee housing?
Oh, yes. My company owns employee housing. We are a seasonal company, so we house seasonally. And we have in the past rented it out in the winters. It hasn't been, we haven't been able to do that for the past couple of winters, but we want to do that again.
And have you tried to own your own home here? Is that something you want to do?
I have attempted a couple times.
Okay. Jonathan, can you describe your journey to home and property ownership in Skagway?
Yes, I was fairly lucky, actually. I moved here right after COVID and the rock slide and all of that. And so the community was still kind of reeling a little bit. I had been trying to buy a home in, we tried in 3 different states actually. So I came here with the money to do so. And there were, I believe, 4 homes on the market at that time. We went through all of them and we took the best shape one, that there was. And it was much more than we wanted to spend. But we took it because, like, it was the best available. And it's worked out good for us. We have renters in it that help us with our payments and whatnot, but we have a house. So that's something better. When I first moved here, I was renting, and I was renting from one spot that I would lose in about 3 months. And I had another spot lined up that was good for 6 months after that. And fortunately, we closed on the house and I didn't have to go through the Skagway shuffle of rentals. So,
all right, this seems like a silly question, but there is some argument about it. We're going to start with Charity. Is there a housing crisis? If so, how bad is it?
There is a housing crisis. We have had a housing crisis since well before I moved here. When I moved here, it was very difficult, challenging for people to find a safe, good place to live. There were always options in different areas, in a tent or in a popcorn wagon, in a bus, in a shipping container. You know, there are always options around back in those days. But if you wanted to have an apartment or a house, that was very difficult. But it has gotten significantly worse. Now we have businesses that cannot hire the number of people that they need because they cannot house them. And we have year-round people who have lived here for decades who are forced to move because they are renters and they lose their year-round housing to people purchasing that housing to house seasonal workers. So we have seasonal workers who have lost their housing to others. So we are at an absolute crisis right now. We cannot right now provide the amount of housing that truly is needed to, one, run this town in the summer, and two, keep this an actual year-round community.
And I did neglect to mention earlier, Mike Healy and Charity Pomeroy are part of the Mayor's Housing Task Force. But, oh, and Jonathan Hillis as well. Well, I lucked out and I got 3 members. Remind me how many members total there are.
I believe there's 9.
Okay. We have 3 members of the Housing Task Force, but everybody here today is expressing their own opinion, and anything they say today is not reflective of the Housing Task Force. I just wanted to make that really clear. And Jonathan, is there a housing crisis, and how bad is it?
Yeah, there is a housing crisis. I know that there's some debate on that, but it comes down to different terms most of the time. I will say that there will always be a difficulty in housing here because we have limited land. That said, it is capping our business's growth right now. I've had to go through the struggle of how to grow when I have to provide my employees housing as a very small business. It requires a tremendous growth spike to be able to afford property and housing and all that comes with that, along with the employee costs. So I'm already taking on salary and benefits and whatever else, but then also I'm expected to have housing, which is just it's a very difficult cap. And I feel like we're kind of at an impasse right now because of it.
Thank you. Mike Healy, is there a housing crisis and how bad is it?
I do believe there is a housing crisis. As Charity mentioned, there has always been an issue. I don't know if I would classify it as a crisis up until maybe the last few years. I think it's been really bad. But yeah, I believe we're in a crisis. And I think I know it's hurting our entrepreneurial spirit in this town. We're going to end up with a few large companies owning a lot of things because they can afford to pay that much more for, you know, what's out there in the market, or they already have it. I mean, I'm kind of a perfect example in that I have a whole bunch of housing, so I was able to expand and open up my most recent business. But others who want to do that, even if want to open up a little mom and pop shop, it's very difficult to do so. About 6 years ago, I went to the municipality and I said, hey, I'm about to expand my business. I need some land to build on. The land at the time, someone wanted like $250,000 for a single lot. It just doesn't pencil out. And furthermore, at the time, the restrictions were so bad that it wouldn't have got me my return on investment to make it work out. So I said, do you have any land that is available? It's been talked about for a decade or better. I'm here with money. I want to buy some. And the municipality said, sorry, we can't help you. And I said, okay, then I'm going to have to purchase second largest, but really seasonal hotel in the community. And it's going to hurt our visitor forecasts. But I have no other choice. Please don't make me do this. No options for me. So I bought Sergeant Preston's Lodge. And that's hurt the community. That's just one example. You go back and there's other smaller inns and hotels that have been purchased throughout the years for that exact same reason. So yeah, I think we're in a crisis and I think it's bad and I think some things need to change.
Does anybody in this room have enough employee housing to fulfill the need for their company right now?
I do.
You do?
Just like exactly enough rooms.
Okay, just enough.
With convincing some people to bunk up.
Okay. Charity, do you have enough employee housing right now to fulfill your staffing needs?
We do not.
Okay. Jonathan?
No, we do not. I fortunately have the RV park contract this year, and one of the main reasons I got that contract was because it comes with two spaces that I can put RVs on. And so I bought those RVs and I've put my employees in them, which hinders my growth tremendously because they are now 6 hours out of the day running an RV park instead of working for me. So no, I don't have enough housing.
Okay. Sorry, I'm putting a few surprise questions in that aren't on the script. I want to backtrack a little bit to something that Charity said. You mentioned there was a popcorn
wagon
that somebody could live in. So for Mike and Charity, who have lived here a bit of time, what are some of the places you've lived that are unusual, or some of the things that you've seen that kind of describe the heyday of unusual housing in Skagway?
I'll go first. My second summer here, I just came up and was like, I'll just get a job and find housing. And then that was my introduction to how difficult it was. It wasn't a crisis back then. It was just quite difficult to find housing. And the only thing I could find was a shared bedroom. But wait, there's more. A shared bed. So with a gal who, she was my coworker, I met her. And I moved in that day, and yeah, so she was like, I'm not here all the time.
What size bed was that?
It was a king.
Oh. Goodness.
But yeah, that I thought was very funny.
Did you get along well?
Yeah, she was great. She was engaged, so she really wasn't there much.
Mike Healy, did you have to share a bed? What's a story that you have?
I have not had to share a bed. I thought I had it fairly bad, or maybe that I had to get creative a few times, but nothing like that. My introduction was I lived in a tent my first summer. In my second summer, I bought a camper for $100 that I got ripped off on. It was not worth $100, and I lived in that. And then at one point, I guess I can say this now because it's further enough in the past, or farther enough in the past, that at Glacial Coffee House, above the bathrooms, there's a little like crawl space attic. I lived there for a while, and I'd have to get up at like 4:30 in the morning to get out, because we opened up very early in those days. And then I would have to come back to my little abode after we closed. I lived upriver a little while a ways. I think that was about a month. So I had a tent up there. And I would just, basically stumble my way home in the evening and sleep for 5-6 hours and leave and head back to town. I lived in a shed with no running water. I put a window in it. I think those are the worst of my experiences.
Where would you shower when you were living in those types of situations?
The rec center, friends' houses. Sometimes I didn't.
And how would you cook?
I owned a restaurant, so
I didn't Lucky cook. You. Oh, my. But you had your own bed. All right, going back to the script, we're going to start with Jonathan. What are some reasons for Skagway's housing shortage? Did the municipality exacerbate the housing crisis?
So mind you, I've only been here a year and a half, but I would say the number one reason is poor land use. There's tremendous empty lots. There's several empty buildings that could be used. The city sits on, or the municipality, sorry, sits on a lot of land that could be used. Just poor land use. Seasonal growth, of course, and I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. It's what our town is. But seasonal growth has caused where we're at. And then lastly, I would say zoning. And it's not the number one cause. It's just there could be some easing from zoning changes, letting go of the idea that we need all of us to have a yard and a one family house. That's kind of what Skagway's been built on. And at our current crisis, like I said earlier, with the shortage of land that we have, there's just a change that needs to happen in our mentality of how Skagway will look. And we don't want to lose our green spaces and whatnot, but we need to condense a little bit. Second part of that question is a tough one. I wouldn't say that they've exacerbated it, or however you say that word, exasperated it. But there's definitely work that can be done, like zoning, to change it, to help it, to ease it. But I wouldn't put the blame on the municipality necessarily.
Thank you. Mike, what are some reasons for Skagway's housing shortage, and did the municipality make it worse?
Well, I think for starters, if our municipality over the last 30 years, 40 years, would have actually paid attention to the comp plans that were completed, I was a part of the 2010 team that did that. It was a ton of work. It was a bunch of work. We did a lot of research, a lot of meetings, a lot of time. Housing was a major issue. And 6 months later, I was in an assembly meeting only to hear an assembly person say something along the lines of, well, I'm glad we got that comp plan thing done. Now let's get down to business with what we really need to do. So just threw it out the window. That was very frustrating, and I never pursued another seat at that table as a result, because I just continued to watch that get completely ignored. So I think our elected officials need to pay more attention to that comp plan. And then I can identify two major events that contributed to the housing crisis. And I don't have my facts exactly straight on this first one, but the campground that I used to live in, which was Hanasack Park off of Broadway and 15th-ish, when that got broken up, as I understand it, what was remaining for the campground didn't meet the city's criteria for a campground. So it was just shut down. I remember that year. It was insane. There were hundreds of people without housing that expected to just return and have housing. And I don't know, I'm not placing blame on anyone for that. That was a major event. And it took a few years to recover from that. I watched it. It also changed the dynamic of who came to town. You know, you had, like when I lived there, for example, it was a lot of people who, in my opinion, were very hard workers. It was like a work hard, play hard situation. And it was fun. It was just great people. And I don't think that crowd continued to come to Skagway, at least not in the numbers that they were there. So that was a big chunk of the workforce that was missing. Those people also spent money all over town. I would say 90% of them left with no money. That's great for our local economy. It's not good for their winter, but it was good for our local economy. The second major event was the closure of Garden City RV Park. And we are still reeling from that one. No way around it. You know, I remember when it occurred, I remember thinking, okay, well, there's got to be some kind of plan for after COVID. You know, I just kind of assumed there was. And I know a lot of things were talked about, but nothing ever got done. I want to say that I'm really impressed with what our municipality on all levels was able to do throughout that pandemic and get the recovery that we have. They had major issues on their plate at all times. So I can see how that could have kind of slipped by. But nonetheless, those are the two events I think that contributed majorly. Exasperated.
Very good, Mike. Thank you. Charity, what are some reasons for Skagway's housing shortage? Did the municipality make it worse?
Everything Mike just listed. I think going into the pandemic, we were back to a place where I think the municipality, the people in the assembly, were focused on the comp plan. I think it was our current comp plan had weight for most of the assembly. And then it just became crisis mode for the assembly, and they had to deal with all these big issues. And one of the things that happened was Garden City. And the idea with ever closing down Garden City was getting water across the bridge and getting the new RV park. But that just fell by the wayside the municipality trying to keep this community alive through COVID, through the rock slide, through everything else. And I wouldn't put the blame on them. I know there's a lot of frustration in the community about Garden City especially, and of course. But I think even when it happened, when that closure happened, I think people at the municipality even still had it in their mind, we're going to do something. But we had another crisis, other stuff happened. So I wouldn't say this is all the municipality's fault. I just think there are so many factors that went into it. All the wild housing, of course. Mike lived in a crawl space, Mike. That's the most delightful thing I've heard.
There was a water heater up there. I could cuddle up next to it when I was cold.
That's really funny. But yeah, I think this is not the best answer, but it is all of those things. It's too many factors, I think, to lay blame on one thing. And now I think the time for laying blame is past, and it's more how do we deal with the issues? How do we bring back those things that we had in different degrees, I'm sure, in different ways? How do we now expand from here?
I noticed nobody mentioned jewelry stores, and that tends to be the first thing that people mention when we talk about housing problems. Does anybody want to address the idea of jewelry stores kind of getting the brunt of the blame for the housing crisis? Jonathan?
Any industry in town that's contributing to our economy is there contributing to our economy. I don't think we can blame any one person just because they're successful or because they do things different than the way others might choose to. If it didn't work, they wouldn't be there. And if it does work, maybe we look at why it works. And if they weren't there, somebody else would be there and they would be looking for housing as well. There's 1.6 million people looking to buy something in town. So
thank you. Okay, next question. We're going to start with Mike. I think this might be the spiciest question of the panel. Can an individual buy a home in Skagway just by working hard? Is luck necessary?
I do think that yes, an individual can buy a home in Skagway just by working hard. That got a lot more difficult. I think about when a lot of the people that bought houses around the time that I did, you know, say even plus or minus 5 years, I look at most of them and they were working their full-time job and they were working a side gig, whether that was 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week. That's what I had to do when I bought mine. Granted, I got the owner financing, but I still had to come up with a significant down payment. And the way I did that is I had my businesses and I also worked construction on the side during the off season and any other free time that I had. And I just stuck all of that extra money in a savings account that was to buy a house. That was its purpose. So it's still possible. It's just more difficult. That being said, wages in this town are very good right now. I mean, the wages that we just did a little study at our business of, you know, 10 years ago, how do we compare with the price of inflation? And not only are we at that, you know, have we matched that inflation, we're way above it. So in theory, someone should be able to work those extra hours and put that away in an account so that they can purchase a home. I think that there's a lot of people, and not all, but there's just a lot that expect to be able to just buy a first home with a cute little yard and all these little things. And it just, that has never existed here that I've ever known. And I think those people need to get it out of their head that they're going to find that here, because for 20 years that hasn't been available, and it certainly is not available now. Yeah, there was a second question. Oh, luck. Yeah, luck helps. No way around it. I in all of my property purchases, there has been an element of luck, and there's been several of those purchases. You know, one, for example, I closed the deal or we shook on an offer, and 5 minutes later, someone came in and offered about 20% more. And fortunately, that person said, well, my handshake is my word, and we'll move forward with the sale. So yeah, there's been luck involved.
Charity, can an individual buy a home in Skagway just by working hard? Is luck necessary?
I think instead of saying working hard, working toward that goal, I think is possible here. I think it's more possible in Skagway than it is in a lot of places in the country right now. It feels like more houses have gone up for sale in the past few years than I remember seeing in the past. But of course, as is always the case, we have a lot of people who want to buy, and there is going to be an element of luck. In the theater, it all comes down to luck if you're prepared. And I feel it's the same way with buying housing here. You have to be prepared for when that comes along. And I know I mentioned earlier that I've made two very small attempts to buy a house here. If I was really bent on it, I feel like even I could buy a house here. But there are a lot of factors. I think there are a lot of people in town who, when they are selling their house, are really mindful of the community and who that house goes to. And I think that's great. There are some people who can't be mindful when they're selling a house. They really need to make a certain amount so they can afford where they're going. So there are different factors that may turn luck against me, a single person trying to buy a house, or somebody else trying to. But I don't think that we are at the same crisis level with that type of housing as some other places in this country.
Thank you. Jonathan, can an individual buy a home in Skagway just by working hard? Is luck necessary?
Yeah, and I agree with what's already been said, that by putting in effort towards that, yes, you can buy a house. Like I said, when I moved here, there was 4 different homes for sale. I think there's still a couple for sale right now in town. I will say that, like Charity was mentioning, being prepared, we were fortunate that we were able to use a full range of the lending products available for first-time home buyers and whatnot to be able to get our home. But that's not always the case for every home in Skagway. Some of these are older homes. Some of these are homes that were built in creative manners. And you can't always get the full package of lending on them. So sometimes it requires more savings than others. When it comes to luck, yes, 100%. There's luck in anything. We tried to buy a home in Indiana, and we tried to buy a home in Montana that we looked at, and a couple of homes in Phoenix, and we didn't have the luck there. Like, we got outbid on some, we had issues come up on others with lending. There is luck involved. I think I agree with Charity on this, that there's not as much of a problem with the buying here. It's the ability to stay in town long enough renting at one space to get to the point that you can buy and build the connections so that you can buy, because some things are sold to people that they know. And that's where kind of our crisis lies more so, is in the renting side.
And Charity, you've already answered this question, so we can skip you if you want. Do Skagway residents who sell their homes have an ethical obligation to sell to a family or year-round resident versus a seasonal company?
I feel really conflicted about this, because I don't think everybody has the ability to remain, to keep the entirety of the community in mind with their own circumstances. So I think obviously always you would have a moral obligation to your community to make the best decision for that community when you do something major like sell your home. But is it unethical for somebody to sell their home or sell their property to someone that might change its use? That's such a case-by-case basis. It stinks. I mean, we're all feeling the devastation of losing year-round residents to a piece of property that was sold to a company that's going to use it only seasonally. And so on the other side, we feel awful about it. But I hesitate to just flatly say that everyone has an ethical obligation, just because you never know someone's circumstances.
Thank you. Jonathan, do Skagway residents who sell their homes have an ethical obligation to sell to a family or year-round resident versus a seasonal company?
No. They don't, and I don't consider it unethical. I know it's an unpopular opinion, especially amongst my age group, millennials and younger, but like it or not, homes are a investment in our future. It's a lot of money that we put up, and many of us buy them considering them as investments, even though we live in them. And I will never tell somebody what to do with their investment. If they have the ability to do something, that is a wonderful giving back to the community and should be applauded and should be encouraged, if you will. But I would never call it unethical or give somebody the obligation that they should do that.
Thank you. Mike, do Skagway residents who sell their homes have an ethical obligation to sell to a family or year-round resident versus a seasonal company?
Yeah, I agree that there's no ethical obligation. Everyone has their, as Charity said, everyone has their own circumstances. I can only offer, I guess, my opinion and you know, what I would do. And if I were selling my home, as I've sold one home already, and moved into a different home, is that I would give someone who is local, a local year-round resident, the first choice at it. I think I do think that is the right thing to do. If that, you know, if you can't get the money that you need out of that home from that local resident, and you, let's just say you have to have $300,000, and $275,000 is the highest bidder amongst locals, and the company says, yeah, I'll give you $300,000, then you kind of got to do what you got to do. But I would hope that people would give local residents the first choice.
Thank you. Jonathan, we'll start with you. What are some steps the planning and zoning or assembly can take to improve the housing situation? That's not a big question.
It's a challenging one, considering I don't even know all of our code, although I have gotten a recent deep lesson in it. definitely zoning changes. I know height is talked about a lot. I think height and setbacks are one of the main ones that can change. Juneau has a really neat program that I learned about recently, that they have a housing fund. I'm probably calling it by the wrong name, but it's essentially a percentage of sales tax, I believe, a percentage of one of the taxes that the city collects that is set aside. It's a very small percentage. It's set aside. I think in their case, it was set aside for 10 years without being touched and invested. And now they're using it, and it's a payback for ADUs, accessory dwelling units that are being built. You can build it and then you can apply, and they will pay back a certain percentage of that to encourage growth. That is an incredible program. And we know that there's been very recent attempts to increase sales tax. And when we talk about things like that, I think something like that should be considered, along with the talks about allowing more height and setbacks and whatnot. But a program like that, that monetarily incentivizes people to build more, would be, I think, a really neat thing for this community.
Thank you. Mike, what are some steps planning and zoning or the assembly can take to improve the housing situation?
Well, first, I think everyone needs to realize that any action put forth by the municipality is not going to change anything anytime soon. You know, you're talking 2 to 3 years out before any of the changes that come about from the housing committee come to fruition. So it's going to be a while. But I think the number one most important thing is a campground. I think that solves the needs for all of those mom-and-pop businesses, even bigger businesses. Any business or anyone who doesn't want their housing tied to their employer, that's an option for them. You know, that's not always a great situation for people to know that, oh, if I screw up at work, I'm going to be out on the street. And I think a lot of employers take that a little too far. I think they take advantage of that situation. So a campground needs to happen as soon as possible. And again, as soon as possible is probably 2 years and might be 3 years.
Thanks, Charity. What are some steps that planning and zoning or the assembly can take to improve the housing situation?
I do think that there is some revisiting of code. We do, of course, want to look at all the reasons behind why different facets of our code exist. And because we do know there are a few things that right now are inhibiting people from building, from rebuilding, from growth, from even selling, unfortunately, because of our code. So we, of course, I really want to pour through it as thoroughly as possible, find all of the whys, and maybe find where it can be eased without harm, obviously, to Skagway as a whole. We do have to preserve our green spaces. We do have to preserve our sanity, but we also have to acknowledge where we are in the world, where we are going, what our comp plan is, what our plan for the city is. So for me, that is the number one step. I could not agree more with Mike that a campground is an absolute necessity here, because it does bring even if it is your last resort, because we do have people who are switching employers mid-season, or people who are, rather than switching employers, are just up and leaving because their housing is tied to their employment. And, you know, another company who could use that person can't have them because there's nowhere for them to go. And that person might be open to, being able to put a tent somewhere, live in the creative ways, well, safe creative ways that have existed in the past that just are no longer an option. We have no last resort anymore. I shouldn't use that term. That makes it sound bad. But I, as a person in my 20s, I loved living in a tent. I lived in a tent in my teens and earlier 20s quite a bit in the summers. And I never did that here because I always lucked out into that, shared king bed or other situation.
We all hope for that shared king bed situation.
I know. It was pretty lush. Yeah. But there... there is a level of excitement about those, the ability to hire people who are coming here, seeing this as what we used to call it summer camp for adults, where we had people who would come and work and work and work and play and play and play. And they spent money all over town. And they were a younger, hungrier group, I think we were, I should say. And it's... without that option, we are getting different people coming here. So, I'm really going on. But yeah, those are some major steps. Pouring through code, creating those things that we can do more quickly to ease the housing crisis as we continue to work on other things.
Going off script, does anybody want to comment on some of the living conditions for the seasonal workers that we all know exist? Maybe some of the unhealthy conditions or unsafe conditions that we all hear about.
The only thing I'll say is that I don't know what we can do about it. It's the situation that's been developed, and employers who are putting their people in that situation, that's not the best way to go. But when you have no other choices, and I guess gotta define what safe means. If it's obviously unsafe to me, then of course that wouldn't be the case. But I also grew up on a farm in South Dakota, and my level of safety is a little bit different than most. And same with the employee. I've put myself in situations, in a housing situation, that I, in hindsight, it's like, geez, if there were a fire, how would I have gotten out of there? So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I offered much there, but it just kind of is what it is. And I think that we need to do our best to eliminate those situations. But again, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Did you want to add anything, Charity?
I do want to say there is a difference, too, between safety and comfort. I don't mean that in a monstrous way. I don't know. I wouldn't ever want anyone being uncomfortable. But I think about 25-year-old Charity. I had no level of comfort that I needed. I could sleep anywhere on anything. I wasn't old yet. and I was happy with anything, except for truly unsafe situations. My first housing here was employee housing provided by an employer. And we walked in and the kitchen counter was just a carpet of black mold. just a carpet of mold. And so we had this really comfortable house, comfortable beds that was truly unsafe. So I now own that house. It is, we fully got rid of it. It is a completely different house these days. But how do you, I don't know how we would even go about with what already exists doing anything about that. I think for the future, obviously, like if we said, hey, the municipality should designate a campground or make it possible for somebody to have a campground, build a campground, that's never going to be like comfort for 50-year-old Charity. But that is, that's safe for 50-year-old Charity, even. And that's comfortable and safe for most younger people. So, you know, as long as safe really truly means safe, that is something you can look at going forward.
Thank you. I'm going to start with Mike. What can we do to help our seniors with housing?
I'll just start by saying I think the way we treat our seniors is pathetic. I grew up in an environment where we respected our elders, and I don't see that here. Because if we did, we would have built some senior housing by now. That was approved, what, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, whenever it was. Granted, I did not approve personally of what was come up with for that plan. I thought that was pretty elaborate. But nonetheless, we need to do something. Here's where we're at right now. I've been helping Chris Valentine as he's kind of transitioned into a different life. He's got apartments in town, so I've helped him manage his apartments. If it weren't for Chris being a really, really good human being, we would have zero senior housing. He's housing, I would just have to guess, a dozen seniors in this community right now at very affordable rates. He could kick them out at any moment and charge double or more. That is not where we need to be. That's not where we want to be, is at the mercy of one person. You know, I think it's terrible. And I really think, one of my things on the housing committee is going to be reevaluating that senior housing component. Again, not the elaborate plan that was come up with before, where it was like $1 million an apartment or something like that. But something needs to change quickly.
Thank you. Charity, what can we do to help our seniors with housing?
Facilitate the building of a senior housing complex. It is designated. We have a big empty space. It doesn't have to be fancy. I know when the senior committee was coming up with all the ideas, of course, they went pie in the sky. And even most of the people involved with that afterward were like, aha, just kidding. truly, as I said before, they need safety. They need, of course, the level of comfort. I mean, physical comfort. But it doesn't have to be a big, elaborate thing. Right now, they are living in very simple apartments at the de facto senior center, which is another way that the municipality could ease the housing crisis. Get that true senior housing built, let people move into the senior center, and then all of a sudden, magically, we have apartments that are available to other year-round people.
Jonathan, what are some ways that we can help our seniors with housing?
I agree with what's been said already. The way our seniors are treated in this town, not even just housing, but I don't know that we have like ADA accessibility to almost anything in town. So there's a lot of work to be made there. But when it comes to senior housing, that's the only housing project that I'm really interested in seeing the city invest in. Most of these solutions, we want the city to, or I'm sorry, I'm saying the city, we want the municipality to make it easier to provide support to they aren't coming up with the money. They're not doing the building. It's privately owned. This is one that it should be a municipally owned, subsidized project. And like we've heard already, we had the plans for it. We have the lot for it. The $8 million or whatever it was price tag on it was a bit crazy. But for $2 million, there's a doable structure there, that would be very beneficial to the community. I will say as a warning maybe is that we can't limit who's going to use that structure, and we can only build so much, and there is a need for senior housing all through Southeast Alaska, and there's nothing to stop somebody who's waiting for a spot at the Haines location to move here and to move into that. So we have a long road is kind of my goal or my point in that. There's a long road to actually meet the need, because all through Southeast Alaska, there are seniors looking for options. And if we provide affordable, new, nice facilities, there will be people that will consider that.
Thank you. I want to circle back to an earlier question where we talked about, can an individual buy a home in Skagway just by working hard? To my knowledge, the last house that sold in Skagway was that very small home on Broadway. It sold for about $500,000. Can families really afford that kind of money for a small home? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Jonathan?
It's hard. Like I said, we had to stretch to get ours, and ours was $420,000. So it's hard. Yeah, it can be done, especially with the, I will say ours was in a different rate environment at 6%. Now some of the higher rates are a little bit more difficult, but rates will change again. And it's doable. It takes a lot of sacrifice. I think Mike touched on it a little bit earlier about not having like this vision. You kind of have to take what comes up. And sometimes that's not the dream house that you always dreamed of. Instead, it's a house. I'll tell you, my house that I bought the week after I moved into it, there was a nice strong south wind with a big rainstorm behind it, and it drove against the side of the house, and the south wall turns out leaks pretty significantly, and there was mold and all sorts of other problems in it. I just took it as, well, I have a house and we've been working on it, fixing it since. Is it my dream house? No, it's not my dream house, but we have a house. So I do think it's still doable. I think it's very hard, but it's not much different anywhere else. Phoenix prices are just as bad. I follow those. I follow Montana prices. They're pretty incredible for some of the homes that are selling there. It's doable, but it's very hard.
Anybody else want to add?
Well, I'm not a family.
You're a family of cats, Charity.
I'm not a family either, but we have two horses as children, so. Oh.
I think that it's doable, but it's not doable for everybody. It's, you know, I've got two children. There's no way that I could have done what I've been able to do if I had a family, you know, 15, 20 years ago. It just, financially, it wouldn't have been possible. So it's possible, but not for everybody, unfortunately.
Okay. And to wrap up, if anybody has any final thoughts, anything they'd like to add that we didn't cover?
I've said it a couple of times, is I just want the general public to understand that there's not a magic overnight solution, and that this is the beginning of trying to solve the problem. It's 2 to 3 years out before we will see anything remarkable from any changes that occur. But I would venture to say you're probably looking at 5 years out before there's major changes that occur. So for those families or individuals who are looking to purchase a home, get that second job, save that money. There will be opportunities. It's just going to be a little while down the road.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a long ways out. And to add on to it, I would say it's not the municipality's responsibility to solve this problem. It's all of our responsibility to solve this problem. There's plenty of land sitting that's privately owned, probably close to what the municipality owns as well, that's not being used or is being used inefficiently. And it's their, I'm not criticizing anybody, it's their right to do whatever they want with their land. But we need to have the thought that if I want to buy a house, if I want to help, if I want to provide for my employees, whatever, it's time to start saving right now. And maybe saving with the thought of, I'm going to go and talk to some of these landowners that own these empty lots, and I'm going to talk with them. Can they owner finance for me? Can they help me carry this? I'm going to build some relationships. There are solutions right now. They're hard. They're not feasible for everybody. They require a lot of cash, but it is there. And then to add on to it, I touched on this earlier, and I think it's important to point out again, is that more than anything, we have a rental crisis. And when we focus on just trying to solve this problem with like single family homes or first time home buyers, those type of situations, we're not solving the rental crisis. And I don't really know the answer to the rental crisis because of the seasonality and everything. It will always be an issue. But trying to survive in Skagway for, say, 5 years while you wait to buy a home, living here year round and doing the shuffle as places get bought out from underneath of you, and as seasonal, you live there for the winter, and then in the summer their employees come back, so you've got to find somewhere else to live, is very difficult. And so there needs to be a broader look at this as like, what can we as individuals do? Don't go to just the municipality and expect them to fix it. And then also, how do we address the rental? How do we empower people to build rental units in town, more of them, and smaller, more condensed stuff?
Thank you.
Final thought? Oh.
Do you want to say anything, Charity?
I do want to say one thing. I know that there is a portion, possibly a significant portion of the population of Skagway that fears the loss of the community that we have. We people come here for Skagway because of the magic of this town. Even the visitors who come here because of the magic of this town. And that magic comes from the community that is here. And I know there is a fear that if we build more, then we are opening ourselves up to losing that community that we have, losing that that magic. I don't think that we are near that right now. I don't think we have neared that point of losing our community because we have overbuilt. But I do want to always keep that in mind as we move forward. I think what I said earlier about, you know, I think it is morally, of course, we all have to think of the community as a whole when we make any of our decisions in life, any big decisions that impact that community. But I think that we have lost certain portions of the community that we had before that were magical because it just can't exist right now. So I think we are not building or facilitating building or making more housing options available. I don't think right now robs us of that at all.
Jonathan Hillis, Mike Healy, Charity Pomeroy, thank you for being a part of Skagway's KHNS very first panel discussion. We appreciate your thoughts and thank you for being with us. Kyle, would you like to add anything?
No, thank you everyone for participating.
Thanks so much, Kyle. This is Melinda Munson with KHNS, and have a fantastic day.